ഓക്കെ, ഗീതാഭൂഷണ ഭാഷ്യം കമന്ററി അടക്കം. You
You
want?
have a different monitor.
Actually, I was thinking of buying a huge monitor.
Everyone has got it.
I don't know. I don't know. Some big monitor should help. Projector, I'm not satisfied with.
You saw this? Junction wire.
It must be the same thing only.
Why do you think this can come?
Hey, you have a word file?
Yeah.
Can you please send me?
No, because in the word file sometimes they make mistakes in OCR. It's OCR from this.
OCR is fine, no? We can correct the mistake.
Somebody has written corrected. If the verses are not written properly. Okay. Tadidam shravanadi bhavadi shabda vyapadishtam drishtam. We see that jnana is equivalent of shravana, bhava and other elements of bhakti. What is this? Why is this coming?
But you still need two monitors, no, according to you.
Otherwise, no, otherwise I just have to do all this all time.
No, see, like this monitor, small monitor, it is available with an input and an output. So now you have a monitor which is only with input. But there are monitors which are available with input and output.
Means what?
Like you only have a video in this.
Yeah.
So like that, there is a video out cable also is available. Monitor with an output provision also are available.
So how does it help?
So then, the moment you have an output provision, then from that output plug you can pin, you can connect to a projector. That's it. Done.
Oh.
It has simple.
Okay. Then you bring. Okay. Then you. I have my projector, but it does not have good resolution. So.
No, I have an excellent projector.
But this one does not have that kind of.
Yeah,
video.
But we'll change the monitor.
Okay. Jnanasra Shravanadi Akaratvam Akaratvam Chitsukasya Vishno Kuntaladi Pratikatva Vat Pratitavyam Iti Vakshyamaha. One should recognize that jnana takes the forms of hearing and other elements of bhakti. Just as one lock of Vishnu's hair represents Vishnu, who is filled with knowledge and bliss. I will explain this in the commentary. The idea is that it takes on the nature of bhakti. Shatrike asmin shastre prathamena shatkena ishvaramshasya jivasya amshi ishvara bhakti upayogi swarupa darshanam. The Gita is divided into three groups of six chapters. In the first six chapters, the jiva and amsha of the Lord is shown to have a swarupa to be employed in devotion to the Lord, the amshi, the source of the jiva. Madhye na paramaprapyasya amshishwarasya prapani bhaktihi tan mahimadhi purvika abhidiyate. Tacha antargata jnana nishkama karma sadhyam nirupyate. The first six chapters show that realization of the nature of jiva is accomplished by nishkama karma, which contains within it jnana. So this is the method. First of realization of jivatma, then engaging in devotional service in bhakti yoga, and then realizing the supreme.
Where are you reading now?
It's all introduction.
English, but where, which paragraph are you?
This, I'm here.
It's different from what Maharaj starts saying.
No, it's okay. Madhyena parma prapyasya amshishwarasya prapani bhaktihi tan mahimadhi purvika abhidiyate. In the middle six chapters, this bhakti, the means of attaining the Lord, who is the source of the jivas and the supreme object of attainment, along with the revelation of the Lord's powers, is explained. In the middle six chapters, the means for attaining the supreme goal, see, there is prapya and there is parama prapya. the Paramaprapya, the final one to be attained is the Supreme Lord. He is the Ishvara. He is the Amshi. He is the source of the Jiva. So the means to attain that is bhakti. But that bhakti has to be done preceded by a conception of the glory of the Supreme Lord. So one must have knowledge of the glory of the Supreme Lord and do bhakti to him. That is described in the middle six chapters. Antyena tu purvoditanam eva ishwaradinam swarupani parishodhyante. In the last six chapters, the true nature of the Lord and the other items which I previously mentioned are described in detail. They are clarified. Even though all the five subject matters have already appeared in the first six chapters and middle six chapters, in the last six chapters, Krishna clarifies things which are not dealt with in things which are aspashta, which are unclear, are all clarified in the middle six chapters, in last six chapters. Trayanam shatkanam karma bhakti jnana purvata vyapadeshastu tattat pradhanyena eva. All three groups of chapters have indications of karma, jnana and bhakti, but by predominance of the subjects of these chapters, they have been described here.
So this thing that in the last six chapters, what is not clarified has been clarified. Where is it from? The commentary? From the introduction?
It's all introduction. It's all introduction.
Why is not put there?
Yeah, he's not made it.
So it's not technically jnana in that sense.
What?
I just wonder how is the jnana yoga the last six chapters.
No, no, no. That is Vishwanath Chakravarti's presentation. This is different. This is a different perspective, different angle of vision. This is Ramanujacharya and Baladeva Vidyabhushan's angle. This is not Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti's angle.
By predominance, it is considered
jnana. No. In Baladeva Vidyabhushan's presentation, first six chapters and middle six chapters is actually the entire Bhagavad Gita. Then there are some subjects which are not clear because they are scattered, like the nature of the living entity, the nature of Prakriti, the questions that Arjuna asks, the three modes of nature, they are all scattered in the first 12 chapters. So Krishna brings it up together thematically and discusses each of them. So these are required for all the three tracks of devotees, Svanishthas, Parinishthas, Nirupekas, all of them require this. This is general knowledge for everyone. At whatever speed one wants to progress, he has to know this.
The last six chapters.
The last six chapters contains information that is relevant for Svanishthas, Parinishthas and Nirupekas. All of them. चनमे भक्ते हे प्रतिपत्ते च उक्तिस्तु रत्न संपुट ऊर्ध्व लिखित तत् सूचक लिपि न्यायेन. At the end of the Gita, there is a statement of bhakti in the form of complete surrender. This is like a short inscription written on the top of a jewel box indicating its contents. So one should not think that that is just one statement made by the Supreme Lord. That is a table of contents for everything. Because in the final, from there's a description of the varnas. The description of the varnas is the beginning of the description of the sadhya and sadhana for the swanishthas. Then there's a verse, Matchitta Sarvadurgani Matprasadat Tarishyasi. In 2.5 verses, the sadhya sadhana of the parinishthitas are described. Then there is Manmanabhava Madhbhakta and Sarvadharman Parityajya, which describes the Sadhya Sadhana for the Nirapekshas. So now that is in fact the entire summary of Sadhya Sadhana of Bhagavad Gita. So one should not think it is just something Krishna has said, like he has said something this chapter, that chapter. That is an indication of what everything Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Now in the Vedic tradition, the chapter contents are generally written at the end, not in the beginning. The names of chapter titles are also written in the end only. Everywhere. Even our Acharya Sanatana Goswami says, thus sense in Sanskrit he writes iti, and then he says this chapter named so and so. Always he will write like that in Sanskrit. It is a Vedic tradition. So it is natural that the table of contents appears at the end. That's what he is saying, like in a jewel box. You write the inscription which says what is inside it.
It's not the end, it's the top.
It is the top. So this is a standard way of putting it in the traditional system. So it is not some strange thing that he is talking about here. Asya shastrasya shraddhalu sadharmanishtho vijitendriya adhikari. One who has faith in this scripture, who is steady in following the path of dharma and has conquered the senses, is qualified for this scripture adhikari. Not really. He is speaking of who is the adhikari, who is the person eligible for this scripture. First of all, he has to be shraddhalu, he has to have faith. Second, he has to be sadharmanishtha. Sadharma means spiritual dharma. He has to have faith in attaining the final goal, which is paramarthika, sadharma, not asadharma. So he has to be fixed in sadharma, because one can have faith in the Veda, but he may not be fixed in transcendental dharma. He may be a trivargi. So this is not that. So he, second qualification is, he has to be sadharmanishtha. Third is vijitendriya. His mind and senses have to be under control. Such a person is eligible. Such a swanishta parinishita narapeksha bheda trividha. There are three types of qualified persons. They are called swanishta, parinishita, nirapeksha. Sometimes swanishta is referred to as sanishta. Teshu swargadi lokan api didrikshuhu nishthaya swadharman hari archana rupan acharan prathama. The first called sanishta performs his prescribed duties of varna and ashrama as a form of worship of Hari with the desire to see swargaloka and so on. Swargadi didrikshuhu. But keep in mind, he is a sadharmanishta. He is also interested in liberation also. So he only desires to see swargaloka and so on. Here is a footnote. The sanishta devotee performs nishkama karma yoga followed by jnana and ashtanga yoga and finally realizes the Lord. Therefore, his desire to see swargaloka is for curiosity, to see the Lord's powers and not to enjoy. Those performing sakama karma desire to enjoy swarga. This comes up in Govinda Bhashya in great detail. This
curiosity.
No, but he did not desire to go and see. This is in Govinda Bhashya, this is brought up. If you desire to go from one place to another place, then on the way your feet will touch, may touch some grass. Okay, so that your goal is not to go in that grass field. Your goal is to go to some village, but on the way you are experiencing all this. So he says that these people, while they are making spiritual progress, they want to experience material enjoyment also. Now these are not the what in ISKCON we refer to as karma kandi. When what we refer to in ISKCON as karma kandi are those who want to go to heavenly planets to enjoy and come back.
Okay.
These people want to attain Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord's abode they want to attain. But on the way they want material happiness.
Karma kandi is not going to come back, they want to remain perpetually.
It's okay. They don't want to attain Vaikuntha, they have no understanding on them, they have zero sambandha gyan. Okay. They simply want to go and enjoy. So these are swargadi didrikshu, not swargadi bubhukshu. See, swargadi didrikshu. Swargadi lokan api didrikshu. These desirous of seeing, they are not desirous of enjoying. So there's a very clear distinction there. Whereas these materialistic people who are only interested in dharmartha kama, they want to go and enjoy. Okay, these people don't want to enjoy. They want to attain the law. They are sadharmanishta. Nishtaya swadharman hari archana rupan. They consider their swadharma to be forms of worship of the Supreme Lord. They consider this to be a method of serving the Supreme Lord. This is the first category, prathamaha. Loka sanjil grikshaya tanacharan haribhakti nirataha dvitiha. The second type called parinishtita follows his prescribed duties to set an example for others and at the same time engages in bhakti to the Lord. The second one engages in these very same activities, but he is absorbed in Hari Bhakti. The first one is also doing Hari Bhakti, but he is not absorbed in Hari Bhakti. He engages in Hari Bhakti as a daily duty, that's all. But the second one spends more time in Hari Bhakti. The Madhva group is very clearly in the first category. Yeah. Very clearly in the first category. The Ramanuja group seems to be in the second category. Searcha Sashramaha. These two types also follow the rules of their particular ashrama. they have ashramas, they have an ashrama identity. Satya tapo japadi bhair vishuddha chittaha hari eka nirataha tatiyaha nirashramaha. The third type called nirapeksha, whose heart has been purified by austerities, japa, truthfulness and other actions, is absorbed only in worshipping Hari, performing only bhakti, not following varna duties. He does not follow the duties of any ashrama. This is the nirapeksha. This is sannyasi. This expression sashrama, nirashrama means, actually it refers to those who are grihasthas and non-grihasthas.
So nirapeksha has to be a sannyasi?
Officially or unofficially, yes. It has to be officially or unofficially that. He cannot do anything. Hari eka nirataha. He is only engaged in Bhagavata Dharma. He avoids offenses, sins and dharma. What else then? Nothing else. He only engages in paradharma. He avoids aparadharma. He avoids adharma. So he cannot have a varna identity, ashrama identity. Maximum in varnashrama dharma, they will always consider him sannyasi only. If he was married before, they will call him a sannyasi. If he was not married before, they will call him a naishtika brahmachari. Nirapeksha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that he expected his brahmacharis and sannyasis to be up to this nirapeksha status. Bhaktivinoda often spoke about these three levels also within his own community. Vachya vachaka bhava sambandha, vachya uttalakshana shri krishnaha, vachakas tad gita shastram tadrasha sotra visheha. There is a factual relationship between the words and the subject of the words, sambandha. The subject of the words, vachya shri krishna, who has been described in the book. The words vachaka are the scripture called the Gita. Krishna is the subject of the Gita's knowledge. Ashesha klesha nivritti purvakas tad sakshatkarastu prayojanam iti anubandha chatushtayam. The final goal, prayojana of studying Gita, is direct vision of Krishna, which also extinguishes countless sufferings. Actually, first of all, the unlimited sufferings are destroyed, and then there is direct experience of the Supreme Lord. This is the goal. This is the anubandha chatushtaya. These are the four anubandhas, necessary elements noted at the beginning of a literary work.
But here there is a distinction, it says direct vision of Krishna.
Yeah.
The Prophet used to say, you know, that the goal is not to see Krishna.
It indicates prema bhakti. In prema bhakti, you are uninterruptedly seeing the Supreme Lord. Internally. Premanjana churita. What is that? Bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Prema bhakti. He is using the language of the Upanishads to describe what the Sandarbhas use using Rupa Goswami's language. Traditional works list these items at the beginning. Adhikari, qualified person to study the text. Vishaya, subject of the text. Prayojana, goal of the knowledge. And Sambandha, the text should relate to the subject. What is the relation between the text and the subject? Then he gives a glossary. Requirements. Four preliminaries. Nowadays also in modern books also, I mean generally when people write a book, in the introduction they specify who is the audience, what is the subject matter, what in the modern, in our VT method of teaching we call it objective. By the end of this course you will be able to do this.
Yeah.
That is called prayojana. What you will be able to achieve by the, after reading this book. Okay, now he gives a glossary. Atra Ishwaradishu Trishu Brahma Shabdaha Akshara Shabdaha Cha Bhadda Jiveshu Tad Deheshu Cha Akshara Shabdaha Ishwara Jiva Dehe Manasi Buddhav Dhritav Yapne Cha Atma Shabdaha. The word Brahma and Akshara refer to the first three items, Ishwara, Jiva and Prakriti. The word Kshara refers to the conditioned soul and his body. The word Atma refers to Ishwara, Jiva and their body. Bodies, the mind, intelligence, determination and effort. Now, when you look at the Sanskrit text of Bhagavad Gita, you will find these words used. You will find the word Brahman used, Akshara used. So sometimes Brahman is referring to Ishvara, sometimes it refers to Jiva, sometimes it refers to Prakriti. Similarly, like for instance, Ishvara, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Jiva, Aksharam Brahma, Paramam, Prakriti, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma. Akshara also, the Akshara Gati, it comes. Eighth chapter. It comes in when Krishna is describing the final goal, he talks of Akshara. With, Akshara is referring to the Jiva in the 12th chapter in Arjuna's question. There is a group of people who meditate on the Akshara. Yeah. Where does Akshara refer to Prakriti? I don't remember right now. Shara refers to conditioned Jiva, 15th chapter, and his body. The word Atma refers to Ishvara Jiva and their bodies, the mind, intelligence, determination and effort. Prakriti.
Mangalacharana Sri features Asirvad, Vasthana, Krishna, Namaskar. This says only
on
the
14th.
So are they
related? That is Mangalacharana.
This is of entire book. For Adhikari Vishaya Prayojana Sambandha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is
pretty open,
seven things of Mangalacharan, three things.
What Mangalacharan? There are three types of Mangalacharan.
Trividha
Prakar. Three types of Mangalacharan. That is everywhere. Even in Alankara Shastra they teach you.
It is not like a three.
You need to have three? No. You can have only one. You don't need to have all three. But I think Kaviraj Goswami gives all three.
Bhagavatam
gives all three types?
Yeah.
Yeah, first
first three.
First three verses.
First three verses.
First verses identifies the subject matter.
No, first one.
And also pays obeisance.
Yeah.
Namaskar, Vastu Nirdesh, and then
Ashirvad.
Ashirvad is the third verse.
Third verse is Ashirvad.
Namaskar is the first verse.
Okay.
Yeah. Namaskar is the first verse. See, first verse has Namaskar and also Vastu Nirdesh. Second verse also has Vastu Nirdesh.
Yes.
The third verse is Ashirvad. And second verse also gives qualification.
Mm-hmm. Adhikari is also
qualified. Adhikari is also there in second verse.
Prithavi Shushuvi.
Nirmatsaranam
Satam. Trigunayam, Vasanayam, Shile, Swarupeche, Prakriti Shabdaha. What did I do? How did I get this? Prakriti refers to the substance consisting of the three gunas. Impressions, vasana, character, and one swarupa. Satta abhipraya svabhava padartha janmasu, kriya su, atmasu cha bhava shabdaha. The word bhava means existence, intention, nature, object, birth, action, and soul. Karmadishu trishu chitta vritti nirodhe cha yoga shabda pathyate. The word yoga refers to karma, jnana and bhakti as well as cessation of mental functions. Very nice actually. This is a, I've not seen this this kind of analysis of important words that are used in Bhagavad Gita in any commentary so far, other than Baladeva Vidya Bhushan's commentary. Etat Shastram Kalu Swayam Bhagavataha Sakshad Vachanam Sarvata Shrestham. This scripture is the best, being the direct words of Swayam Bhagavan.
Why is it as well as cessation of mental functions? What
is
the significance of that?
This is Patanjali's description of yoga. He defines yoga as chitta vritti nirodha. Mental functions have to cease. This, you have to have direct spiritual experience which is unmediated by the mind.
So, refers to yoga refers to karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga and experience which is unmediated by the mind.
Yeah, see, the word yoga also refers to, also means upaya or sadhana. And there are three types of sadhana which we learn from 11th canto of Bhagavatam, karma, jnana and bhakti. So that's where he is deriving this from. Because in elsewhere, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan says there are three means and he refers to this. And he says, and he quotes from the 11th canto. So we know that. But then this chitta vritti nirodha is directly coming from Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, where he defines what yoga is. He says yoga means chitta vritti nirodha. It's one of the sutras actually. Gita sugita kartavya kimanye shastra vistarai ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmat vinirgata iti padmat. The Padma Purana says, here it comes vinisrita, here it comes vinirgata. multiple readings. The Gita which is emanated from the mouth of the Lord Himself should be sung. What is the need of any other scripture? Dhritarashtra Adivakyam tu tat sangati labhaya dvaipayanena virachitam. The words spoken by Dhritarashtra and others in the Gita were written by Vedavyasa to create continuity in the text. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that statements beginning with the word Dhritarashtra, like Dhritarashtra Vacha, Sanjaya Vacha, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, these are written by Dvaipayana himself for continuity. Tatcha Lavanakara Nipata Nyayena Tanmayam Ityupodghataha. However, those words also become equivalent to the Lord's words, just as all objects falling in a salt mine become salty. Thus concludes the introduction. Because how can you say it is Bhagavad Gita? If the entire 18 chapter Gita is Bhagavad Gita, then the first chapter there are so many statements by Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra, Arjuna, then why are they all within it? Because this is the logic, that anything that falls in a salt mine is salty. So it has fallen into this discussion, so the entire text is called Bhagavad Gita. Iti Upodghata. This ends the introduction. Okay, now we go to what is Rasikaranjan. Rasikaranjan, very very important, Rasikaranjan. No, it's an elaborate introduction he gives. Avataranika. This is based on Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary actually. This introduction. This accompanies Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary also.
Oh, it doesn't have introduction.
When we do Vidvat Ranjan and Rasik Ranjan, we'll do properly. Probably we should do both together. Both Bengali now. Put it in one book. Pranamya aham pravrittosmin nityanandam sashaktikam. Pranamyaham pravrittosmi nityanandam sashaktikam sanmude vangabhashayam gitanuvada karmani. Parashakti sampanna nityananda swarup parameshwar ke pranam kriya sadhudike ananda vardhanartha vangabhashay gita shastra anuvad karje pravritta hoilam. After offering my most respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead who possesses unlimited spiritual energies and who is the personification of eternal bliss, I begin to translate Bhagavad Gita into Bengali for the purpose of increasing the happiness of saintly persons. Nityanandam, the bliss, eternally blissful Lord.
That's not referring to Lord
Nityananda. Well, it could be. Who is the personification of eternal bliss? You can directly take it to mean Lord Nityananda.
How will you translate that?
Who possesses offering my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nityananda, who possesses unlimited spiritual energies, I begin to translate Bhagavad Gita into Bengali for the purpose of increasing the happiness of saintly persons. Nigam Shastra Atyanta Vipul. Vedic scriptures are vast. He is specifically talking of Nigama. Nigama. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Nigama. Nigama. Taha kona angshe dharma, kona angshe karma, kona angshe sankhya gyan, evam kona angshe bhagavad bhakti vistina rupe upadishta hoiyache. In some portions there is a discussion of religiosity, dharma. In some portions fruitive activities, karma, are described. In some portions the analytical study of the material world, sankhya gyan, is advocated. And in some portions, devotion service to the Supreme Lord, Bhagavad Bhakti, is elaborately described. Avi samasta vivahar, avi samasta vyavasthar, paraspar sambandha ki, evam kakhanai, ba, kon vyavastha hoite vyavasthantar sikar kara kartabha, erup kramadhikar tatta, e shastre, kona kona sthale trishto hai. The mutual relationship between the subjects is what?
Also described in
what? They cut out. See, each sentence is important. The words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are as good as scripture. Prabhupada said that. Okay, this is what he says. Now, in between these, they are all different statuses. What is the mutual relationship between their statuses and when to accept which status from another status? The philosophy of the eligibility, sequential eligibility, kramadhikar, sequential eligibility has also been discussed in this scripture in some places. Idea is this: who is eligible for karma, who is eligible for jnana, who is eligible for bhakti, in which status, and when to move from karma to jnana, when to move from jnana to bhakti, that is also discussed separately. So the idea is these points have been segregately, they have been presented in the scriptures, in the scriptural body, and there are some statements here and there which also talk about their relationships and how to move from one status to another. Kintu Solpai Vishishta, O Sankirta Medha Jukta, Kalijata Jivganer Pakhe, Upta Vibul Shastra Adhyayan, O Vichar Purvak, Adhikar Krame, Kartava Nirnay Kara, Ativa Kothin. The mutual relationship between these subjects is also described in the scriptures, but it is extremely difficult for the narrow-minded people of Kali Yuga who have short lives to ascertain their respective qualifications and duties by studying these vast Vedic scriptures. অতএব ওই সমস্ত ব্যবস্থার একটি সংক্ষিপ্ত ও সরল বৈজ্ঞানিক মীমাংসা নিতান্ত আবশ্যক. Therefore, there is a need for a brief, simple and scientific presentation of these scriptures. There is a need for a brief, simple, scientific investigation of this subject matter. It is absolutely required. द्वापरांत काल पर्यंत धीशक्ति संपन्न व्यक्तिगण ओ वेद शास्त्रे यथार्थ तात्पर्य बुझिते अक्षम होइया केहो कर्म के केहो योग के केहो सांख्य ज्ञान के केहो तर्क के केहो बा अभेद ब्रह्मवाद के एकमात्र ग्राह्य मत बोलिया निर्दिष्ट करिते छिलेन. After the end of द्वापर युग, towards the end of द्वापर युग. Towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, you correct me whenever there is some mistake here. You keep the Bengali text with you. Even intelligent people became incapable of understanding the actual purport of the Vedic literature. Hence, some of them considered karma, some of them considered yoga, some of them considered jnana, some of them considered tarka, and some of them considered cultivation of impersonal knowledge as the goal of life. Now, they considered that alone should be accepted. That alone should be accepted. The other portions are not meant for any serious spiritualist. They thought like that. Taddara Bharata Bhumite Khanda Gyan Janita Asampurna Matasamuha Pakasthali Gata Acharbita Khadya Dravir Nai Nana Vida Utpat Upastit Kuriya Chilo. As a result, many incomplete and unauthorized philosophies came into being in the land of India, creating various disturbances, just as undigested food creates a disturbance within the stomach. Now, there is a basis for all this. In the Skanda Purana, it is described that towards that time in Dharmabhumi, there were all kinds of misunderstandings about the purport of the Vedas. And then actually, the demigods headed by Brahma, Rudra, Indra, they prayed to Lord Vishnu and said, can you please rectify the situation? Then he appeared as Vyasadeva. And then Vyasadeva, he presented, compiled the Vedas. No, first he explained it through various writings. He gave the Vedanta Sutra and so on. So that was a real situation. Ukta utpat kalir agavaner prak kale attanta prabal hoile satya pratigya param karunik bhagavan krishna chandra nija sakha अर्जुन के लक्ष्य करिया जगन निस्तारेर एकमात्र उपाय स्वरूप सर्व वेद सारार्थ मीमांसा रूप श्री श्रीमद् भगवद गीता शास्त्र प्रकाश करिले. जस्ट बिफोर दीज डिस्टर्बेंसेस बिकेम प्रोमिनेंट इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ कलयुग द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ लॉर्ड कृष्णचंद्र रिवील्ड दिस श्रीमद् भगवद गीता which is the essence of all Vedic literature and the only means to attain liberation from material existence to his dear friend Arjuna. Sutrang Gita Shastra Samasta Upanishad Ganair Shirobhushan Swarup Dedipyaman. Therefore Bhagavad Gita is to be considered like the crest jewel among all the Upanishads.
It is Bhagavatam is considered the essence of religion, right?
It is presenting the essence of even Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is to be considered like the shining crest jewel, brilliantly shining crest jewel.
What is this thing he says?
He says, this is the crest jewel. Shirobhushan means the jewel on top of the head. When you wear a helmet, in the helmet there is a jewel.
That's Bhagavad Gita.
Amongst the Upanishads.
Among the Upanishads, but. Suppose somebody reads the Bhagavatam. Say, the entire teaching of the Bhagavad Gita there in the Bhagavatam.
Yes. Everything in Bhagavad Gita is brought up. All the teachings of
explained more
in further detail.
Yeah, that's right. So it is like unabridged
explanation of
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
More. Like Prabhupada writes about Uddhava Gita. He says subjects that Krishna did not cover in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna covered in Uddhava Gita. Like the glories of the young gopis of Vrindavan. These do not come in here. He has also brought out what is Karma Yoga in detail. There are chapters.
So people don't need to read Bhagavad Gita. Just
if you, for people who are not at all familiar, Bhagavatam looks like a very daunting, huge book. So in the Indian system of education, they usually present a subset of a larger body of your field of study as an introduction. Like in the Paninian system of Sanskrit grammar, there are 4,000 rules. But generally when they teach it, even now in universities, they study a version which has 1,300 sutras. That is called the Laghu version, abridged version. Okay. Now, that is only an abridged version of, this is a subset of the entire book which is a superset. So, studying the subset is always considered an introduction to the superset. So it is fair to say that Bhagavad Gita, which contains a subset of Bhagavatam's teachings, to be an introduction to Bhagavatam.
I think it's not, let's see, why you're asking.
Prabhupada also said that.
Is it?
Yeah. Bhagavad Gita from the
beginning. Ah, then Srimad Bhagavatam.
No, like that, you know, that, so what I want to ask, for example, is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everything the Bhagavatam is, you cannot.
No, Chaitanya Charitamrita is different. It is in Bhagavatam Niryas. Niryas means extracted essence. The traditional example is sugarcane. In sugarcane there is the juice of the sugarcane. But the juice is inside. The juice is not visible. In fact, you have to put it through a process and take it out. Okay. So the actual hidden teachings of Bhagavatam has been extracted by Kaviraj Goswami and presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said Shikshashtakam is the extracted essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Niryas. There are different. Niryas is extracted essence. It is different from Sara. Sara may be found. It may be found. Like for instance, in Bhagavad Mahatmya and Padma Purana, there are two Bhagavad Mahatmyas. One in Padma Purana, one in Skanda Purana. In the Padma Purana edition, it is described about Bhakti Devi had two sons and we know that history.
Yeah.
Jnana Vairagya. So there it is described that the question is raised. If Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic scriptures, because at one time Jnana Vairagya were about to die. So at that time they recited different scriptures. When they recited the Upanishad, nothing happened. When they recited Bhagavad Gita, a little bit there were symptoms of consciousness. When they recited Bhagavatam, then they arose. So then the question is raised in them that if Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic scriptures, then why there was no effect there? When they recited the Vedas in the Vedanta, when they recited the Vedas in the Upanishads, why they didn't wake up? If everything in Bhagavatam is originally coming from these books, then why that the effect was not there? So the example is given just like the bees take honey from different flowers and collect them in one place. So Bhagavatam is a place where the honey has been taken out and collected. Okay, because that the honey is found only in small measure in different flowers. So in Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva has taken out those and presented it separately as a form of a separate book. Therefore, it is called essence. Now that is one type of essence. Okay. Now Niryasa is a different type of essence. You can even say Bhagavad Gita is a Niryasa of Upanishads. I don't know whether it is a Sara of Upanishad or Niryasa, because there are many verses which are actually parallel. There are several parallel verses. Many statements in Bhagavad Gita have parallels in Upanishads. So it may be just an essence, Sara. But Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita relationship is one of Niryasa.
Extracted Bhagavatam essence. Sara, no?
Of course.
So then Chaitanya Charitamrita at the same time does not contain all the subject matters of the Bhagavatam, right?
It's no. It only contains,
wants to read it.
Only the highest teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are dealt with in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only the core teaching. The core teaching. Shukadeva himself in the 12th canto says that I have told you dynasty of kings, all that. That is all simply the opulence of my speech. Vagvibhuti. The actual subject matter is about Lord Hari. And that is the actual content of Bhagavatam.
So what is the purpose of the dynasty?
That he says for Vairagya. To generate renunciation.
Also, this is
in Bhagavatarga Marichimana, it comes very clearly.
How will it generate renunciation? All the people have managed.
First canto or this chapter?
Yeah.
First
chapter.
You see that so big kings are there, everybody vanishes.
Everybody dies. It comes in 12th canto, no? The Bhumi Gita.
Yeah.
Bhumi says, all these people, everybody died and everyone thinks he is going to enjoy me. Bhumi sings one song.
Yeah.
So it is to promote renunciation. Comes?
No. Chapter 6, it says some one word that. In chapter 6 or 7, the text comes, he says that Shukamsan has said that now I am starting to pray in the first sense of Bhutu Mahara in such a way so that primarily Krishna Katha comes
from. Krishna Kathodayam. 1.7.13, I think.
1.7.13. So I was thinking all this dinosaurs were speaking this particular primary focus.
Yeah, because the dynasties are not described in detail.
Yeah.
Only few portions of the dynasties are expanded in detail, because those portions actually have a message which is related to pure devotional service. So
generally, sometimes it zooms.
Yeah,
it comes.
Yeah.
Then again goes.
Again, you just get names.
It comes, Vacho Vibhuti, what is that?
It's a hidden essence. Chaitanya hidden essence. Not visible essence.
Yeah. Like you can say, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Shikshashtakam is Niryasa of Bhagavatam, which itself impressed me very much. Because you have to know what is the concept behind Niryasa. Niryasa means it's an extracted essence. It is invisible. Like sugarcane juice is invisible. It is inside. And it's not easy to take it out also. There's so much of processing you need to do to get it out.
But then what is rasa?
I don't know.
But sugarcane juice also rasa only, no?
Of course. That is there. See this one. Kathayamaste kathitamahiya sam vitaya lokeshu yashah pareyusham jnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vacho vibhutir natu paramarthyam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this. O mighty Parikshit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. Natu paramarthyam, this is not the actual tatparya, the intention of the Bhagavatam. That is for jnana and vairagya. See, he clearly says.
Yeah,
jnana, vairagya, that's all.
What is the purpose of fifth canto?
Fifth canto is actually a meditation on the Supreme Lord, Shishuma.
On the universal form?
Yes, this is meant as a meditation.
Universal So this is also for whom? Transition program.
What?
Who are the adhikaris for this?
For Bhagavatam.
Fifth completion of this issue of universal form.
Everyone, why?
Like they say in the second minute, it's like for the Buddhi.
For?
Kanishka Bhaktas, universal form.
Oh, that I don't know. It will be good to find out what the Acharya say about that. Who is meant for that? Okay. भिन्न भिन्न व्यवस्था सकलेर परस्पर संबंधो ताहा देर चरम लक्ष्य रूप पवित्र हरिभक्ति सर्वजीवेर नित्य कर्तव्य रूपे गीता शास्त्रे उपदिष्ट प्योर डिवोशन सर्विस टू लॉर्ड हरि इज इटर्नल ड्यूटी ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज दिस हैज बीन क्लियरली इंस्ट्रक्टेड इन द भगवद्गीता The Gita Shastra has instructed, has given instructions about the relationships between the different statuses, and it points out that the ultimate goal is pure Hari Bhakti, which is the eternal duty of all jivas. Kono kono tarka priya pandit Gita Shastra ke abhed brahmavad mataposhak shastra boliya siddhanta kuriya thaken. Some mental speculators conclude that the Bhagavad Gita is a literature that supports the philosophy of impersonalism. Some scholars who are very fond of argumentation, they have concluded that the Gita Shastra is a Shastra which nourishes the philosophy of non-dual Brahman. Taha der mata pravartak Bhagavad adesh palak avatar श्रीमद् शंकराचार्य भगवत गीता जे भाष्य प्रस्तुत करें ताहा कई लक्ष्य आदर्श मूल भित्ति पर्याय ताहारा उक्त कुतर्केर प्रतिष्ठा करिया थाकें देयर फॉल्स आर्ग्यूमेंट्स आर एस्टैब्लिश्ड ऑन द बेसिस ऑफ द कमेंट्री गिवन बाय श्रीमद् शंकराचार्य हु अपीयर्ड बाय द इंस्ट्रक्शन ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड टू प्रीच सच अ फिलॉसफी ओह दैट इज टू मच Even when Krishna orders you to speak some bogus philosophy, you will not do things like that. He is the Lord Shiva. He is the greatest Vaishnava.
Yeah, but he did comment on Bhagavad Gita.
No, but Bhagavad Gita is only Krishna speaking. Krishna speaks so many things, no? If you read the Puranas, Krishna speaks so many things.
Okay.
So it's only Krishna speaking. Bhagavatam is not like that. Bhagavatam is not simply. If you simply say Krishna speaking, means Krishna speaks so many things. Everything Krishna only speaks. Karma Kanda, demigod worship, everything Krishna has spoken. In fact, if you want to see Sri Bhagavan Vacha, you can make a whole book and confuse everyone. The entire Hinduism, you'll find it there. Why to worship Lord Shiva? That also Lord Krishna only gives. Chapters of glorification. जे सकल ग्रंथे कर्म बा ज्ञान के चरम उद्देश्य बोलिया स्थिर करा हयाचे ओई सकल ग्रंथ तत् तत् व्यवस्थार अधिकारी दिगेर पक्षे कल्याणप्रद इन सम लिटरेचर्स वी आर टॉकिंग ऑफ वैदिक लिटरेचर्स स्क्रिप्चर्स कर्म और ज्ञान हैव बीन असर्टेड एज द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ एक्चुअली दिस वॉज डन ओनली फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ पीपल हु आर क्वालिफाइड फॉर सच पार्ट्स एंड नथिंग मोर So the idea is, in those granthas, those scriptures where karma or jnana have been presented as the final goal, those scriptures are actually auspicious for people who are eligible for those respective statuses. Sei sei vyavasthai nishtha utpadan koribar janna, sei sei vyavastha ke charam vyavastha bolya nirdishta na korile, ताहा टैग करिया व्यवस्थांतर स्वीकार स्थले से व्यवस्थार अधिकारी दिगे नितांत अमंगल होइबार संभावना एरू विवेचना करिया कर्मशास्त्रे कर्म के ओ ज्ञानशास्त्रे ज्ञान के सर्वोत्तम बोला होइया छे एक्चुअली दिस वॉज डन ओके जस्ट टू स्ट्रेंथन देयर फेथ दीज प्रैक्टिस हैव बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड एज द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ अदरवाइज सच पर्सन्स माइट गिव अप द प्रोसेस दैट इज अप्रोप्रिएट फॉर देम एंड इंस्टेड विम्सिकली एक्सेप्ट समथिंग कंकॉक्टेड That would certainly harm the followers of such paths. That is why karma has been described as the best path, not the best path, as the final goal in the Karma Shastra, and jnana has been described as the best path, not best path, final goal in the Jnana Shastra.
Sarvottam,
final, highest. It is the highest. If you actually read the, if you read the Dharma Shastras, or in fact if you read the Puranas for instance, it gives you the impression that this is the highest and everything is meant to bring you to this conclusion. You should worship Vishnu because finally it takes you to heavenly planets and you can enjoy that. That is the highest attainment.
Highest and best, what's the name?
Highest means it's the final conclusion. Whereas if you look at some Jnana Shastra like Yoga Vasishtha, okay, Yoga Vasishtha says that everything is meant to bring you to the point of impersonal realization. And for that purpose you should engage in different types of devotional service to Vishnu. Because then that will generate the eligibility in order to come to that point. ए प्रकार कौशल अवलंबन करा कर्तव्य की ना ताहा स्थले विचार करा जायते छे ना केवल उक्त कौशल जे बहुतर शास्त्रे अवलंबित हुई आचे इहाय विज्ञात होक. What is this? What is this? I don't even. What is going on here? It is completely, you know, that's all. What is this? What is this? You know, I mean, these sentences are not even translated. Okay, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, one can ask this kind of, this method of presentation, this kind of expert presentation, whether it should be taken up or not, that is not being discussed here. It is simply being stated here that this kind of expert presentation has been
exists.
Yeah, different scriptures have utilized such an expert method of presentation. That much is, let that be known. It should be known that this is there. So the idea is that you cannot simply say, oh, this one says this is the highest.
No, expert method, just method design.
You know, he doesn't even translate this. These are all important. When I first read it, yeah, immediately everything fell in place.
What does it say? What is he saying?
He's saying that some scriptures say karma is the highest.
Okay.
Some say jnana is the highest. Okay. And these are all spoken by genuine authorities only.
Okay.
So why is it saying it is the highest? Highest and the final also.
Spoken by genuine authorities.
It is in Shastra. They're in Shastra.
Okay.
They're in Shastra. Both in the Shruti portion, Smriti portion. So then why is that method adopted? That method is adopted just to create faith. Okay, so he is saying now you should not, he is saying that we are not discussing whether such a method should be adopted or not, but it is simply being, let it be known that this method has indeed been accepted in different scriptures. In the Vedic system it is there. Okay. Je granthe sadhan kale karma gyan pradhani bhuta bhakti evam phala kale निरुपाधिक प्रीति उपदिष्ट हुईया छे सेई ग्रंथे सर्वजीवेर नितांत श्रेयस्कर. That those, okay, in those scriptures where at the time of sadhana one engages in karmagyana pradhani bhuta bhakti and at the result one attains love of God without any material designations, those scriptures are absolutely beneficial for all living entities. However, those literatures that describe the superiority of devotion service compared to karma and jnana and at the end prescribe, no.
Completely different translations.
No, first of all, he doesn't understand. Prescribe unalloyed love of God are extremely beneficial for all living entities. He doesn't understand what is pradhani bhuta bhakti, guni bhuta bhakti. Upanishad samoha, Brahma sutra, Bhagavad Gita, sarvato bhave, shuddha bhakti shastra. The Upanishads, the Brahma sutras and the Bhagavad Gita are all pure devotional scriptures.
But it is not the commander of the category.
Upanishad Samuha, all the Upanishads.
He's saying pure, Pradhani Buddha Bhakti leads to pure devotion. What is he saying?
During sadhana time,
but yeah, karma jnana pradhani bhuta bhakti, and that will lead one to spotless prema bhakti without upadhis, nirupadhik prema bhakti.
In starting with karma,
karma jnana pradhani bhuta bhakti, not karma jnana guni bhuta bhakti. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we don't actually go to the lowest level. We don't start with karma yoga in general. They usually, in fact, Bhaktivinoda's standard is bare minimum pradhani bhuta bhakti. You will not go lower than that. Only sometimes he says.
There are some elements of karma and
jnana.
Yeah. Like what?
They are participants in Varnashram. They don't have to be kevala bhakti sadhakas. That is the point.
Okay.
They can be participating in pradhani bhuta bhakti.
And then what is saying after?
No, those scriptures which present karma jnana pradhani bhuta bhakti as the sadhana and spotless love of Godhead as the goal, those scriptures are absolutely beneficial for all living entities. Scriptures which promote karma are beneficial for some living entities. Scriptures that promote jnana is one step higher is good for some other living entities. But those which promote karma jnana pradhani bhuta bhakti, having pure love of Godhead as the goal, are beneficial for all living entities at any status. Upanishad Samoha, Brahma Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, Sarvato Bhave, Shuddha Bhakti Shastra. In all.
How he is saying Upanishad is Shuddha Bhakti Shastra? Because generally we say Upanishad is Jnana.
That is all, it's all Iskanda Vacha only. It is not Parampara.
Not Parampara?
Of course not. Ridiculous. All the scriptures have one Vedeshya Sarvai Rahamaya Vedya, then what is this?
But Upanishads does not describe impersonal Brahman as a goal.
No.
None of the Upanishads describe.
No. Come in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes only, first of all, even Jiva Goswami says, Kvachitapi Nigame Shastri, only in some scriptures impersonal Brahman itself is mentioned. And even when they mention it, it is the first step. You have to first of all realize the qualitative oneness of the living entity and the Lord, but finally always the goal is love of God.
The scripture itself does not mislead, the misinterpretations mislead,
right? Yeah, but the interpretation of the scripture is what generally we read.
No, but what is the statement then?
Look, Lord Chaitanya. Yaya Shrutir Jalpati Nirvisesham Sasa Bhitatte Savisheshameva Vichara Yoge Satihantata Sam Prayo Baliya Savisheshameva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, whatever Vedic mantras describe the absolute truth impersonally only prove in the end that the absolute truth is a person. The Supreme Lord is understood in two features, impersonal and personal. If one considers the Supreme Personality of God in both features, he can actually understand the absolute truth. He knows that the personal understanding is stronger because we see that everything is full of variety. No one can see anything that is not full of variety. This later was found in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka. So, initially it talks about impersonal. Because the Vedic method is first of all, look. Nirvishesha tare kahe jai shrutigan prakrita nishedi kore aprakrita sapan. Whenever there is an impersonal description in the Vedas mean to establish that everything belonging to the Supreme Personality of God is transcendental and free of mundane characteristics. There are many impersonal statements about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, apani pado javano grahita. Okay. When it is stated that the Supreme Lord has no hands and legs, one should not think that he is impersonal. Rather, he has no mundane hands or legs like ours. He has no eyes, yet he sees. This means he does not have mundane limited eyes like ours. Because he has eyes, that is why he glanced. No? That is also coming in the same Upanishads only. Thus, the impersonal descriptions in the Vedas intend to deny mundane characteristics in the Supreme Lord. They do not intend to establish the Supreme Lord as impersonal. So in all manners, these three scriptures are Shuddha Bhakti Shastras, Upanishads, Brahma Sutra and Bhagavad Gita. Sthal Vishnu.
If you have to change our that chart, that at the beginning of each Upanishad we show one chart.
Why? Does it say impersonal?
No, they say that it is Jnanakanda. No? They say Upanishads are Jnanakanda.
Oh, that's okay. that expression karma kanda, jnana kanda and bhakti kanda, they only refer to what is the apparent pratitika artha.
But jnana generally is taken as impersonal jnana.
I think this school we have the asishya dosha or jnana.
The asishya dosha.
Jnana and karma.
Yes. They have an asishya dosha of karma also. They think karma is bad. Karma is very good. Jnana is also very good. That is why Bhaktivinoda wanted to change it. Prior to Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktivinoda actually writes about it in Krishna Samhita introduction. He says the previous commentators, they were very merciful to Kanishtha Adhikaris. But I want to present Bhagavatam as fit for Madhyama Adhikaris. So, and he gave an example. He said, for instance, the word Brahman, the word Jnana. For a Kanishtha Adhikari, it's all impersonal Jnana methodology. And Brahman, the very word Brahman sounds impersonal to him. He says for a Madhyama Adhikari, the very word Brahman means all attractive. And the very word Jnana means the process of learning about Sambandha Jnana. So like for instance, some Acharyas like Madhvacharya, like Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, they all take it like this only. You don't, when you read their commentaries, when you read Upanishad with Madhvacharya's commentary, you wonder from where this impersonalism came from. Because everything is clear, you know. Because this is how he explains. Upanishad is going on. In his commentary, he will always quote a parallel passage from some scripture, some Smriti Shastra, most of the time. And that gives a parallel. Like I was seeing Kalke. I was reading Kena Upanishad. Kena Upanishad, it says there are statements like that is the Brahman, not this which you worship. Okay, there are statements like that. Nedam yadvam upasase, not this that you are worshipping, it's that. Now in that parallel passage, first of all that paraphrase is identical in sequence to this Upanishad text. And in fact it even tells, this is actually a conversation between Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is asking these questions. Questions come in that Smriti scripture. And if you look at the Kena Upanishad questions also, it's similar only. Okay, by whom is this universe impelled, what is going on? Similar, parallel it is, but it's in a different, simpler Puranic Sanskrit language. This is Upanishadic Sanskrit language, dialect, two different dialects. And there also it comes, when Brahma is answering, the answer is also parallel. Okay, so you can clearly see that Supreme Lord Vishnu whom you worship, who's beyond material creation, he is the actual one, not the Jivatma that you are meditating on. Because in the process, there are some processes by which first you meditate on Jivatma, then you realize, then you meditate on Lord Narayana, then you realize. That we learn from Bhagavad Gita also. So it's very, very distinct and clear. Not this that you meditate on means not this Jivatma, but that Lord Vishnu. So it goes parallelly. So when you read that, you wonder, yes, and everything is fine. Because in Sanskrit, the word can... like the word kalatram is a neuter word, but it refers to a wife. Similarly, you may have a word which may be neuter, but it may refer to someone masculine. So the word Brahman is neuter. So it is conjugated, it is declined in the neuter form. I mean, it looks neuter. But actually Brahman is referring to Lord Vishnu. And there's nothing wrong with that. By rules of Sanskrit grammar also and syntax, it's right only. So when you read that, you don't understand what exactly is, how come Gaudapada and company screwed up impersonalism is a big, from where they got it, because I think they are getting it the way Ritviks are getting some statements here and there, they are just piecing it together and worked out something.
I gave an example, Bihari is good, from India, Australia. But if you tell them
Bihari,
they will feel bad.
Yeah.
So this is
Ashlishya
Dosha.
How would they combine
for
this? Yeah, because...
Ashlishya Dosha means, like when Sarva Bhattacharya, when he saw that Bhagavatam verse, he changed it now from Mukti Pade to Bhakti Pade. So that is the defect of previous mental
impressions.
So, Bhaktivinoda wanted to change this entire thing. That is why he was very particular. He said, I specifically want the Vedanta scriptures He told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I want these books to be studied. I want the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to study these books. More or less after Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, not many people are doing it, but anyway, it has now come. There are at least some devotees who are studying Govinda Bhashya, Upanishads and so on. Okay, we'll stop with this, we'll continue next Monday.